our Asram, and we must make time to realize in the heart of this place the truth, which is beauty. And for this we have lighted our lamps. In the morning the sun came out brightly. In the dusk the stars held up their lights. But these were not sufficient for us. Until we light our own little lamps, the world of lights in the sky is in vain. And unless we make our own preparations, the great wealth of the world preparations remains waiting, like a lute for the finger touch. I need have no anxiety about the world of nature. The sun does not wait to be trimmed by me. But from the early morning, all my thoughts are occupied by this little world of myself. Its importance is owing to the fact that I have a world given to me, which is mine. It is great, because I have the power to make it worthy of its relationship with me. It is great, because by its help I can offer my own hospitality to the God of all the world. In our everyday world, we live in poverty. Our resources have to be husbanded with care. Our strength becomes exhausted, and we come to our God as beggars for our joy of life. On festival days, we display our wealth and say to Him that we are even as He is, and we are not afraid to spend. This is the day when we bring to Him our own gift of joy, for we truly meet God when we come to Him with our offerings and not with our wants. Life's highest opportunity is to be able to offer hospitality to our God. We live in God's world and forget Him, for the blind acceptance which is one-sided never finds its truth. It is a desert which receives rain but never offers fruit in return, and its receiving has no meaning. God's world is given to us, and when we offer our world to God, then the gift is realized. When I had thrust the great world unnoticed behind the bars of my office habit, I developed in me the belief that I was indispensable. Of the many means by which nature exacts work from man, this pride is one of the most efficient. Those who work for money work only to the extent of their wages, up to a definite point, beyond which they would count it a loss to work. But those whose pride impels them to work, they have no rest. Even overtime work is not felt as a loss by them. So busy used I to be under the belief that I was indispensable that I hardly dared to wink. My doctor now and again would warn me, saying, "Stop, take it easy." But I would reply, "How will things go on if I stop?" Just then my health failed me. The wheels of my car broke down, and it came to a stop beneath this window. From here I looked out upon the limitless space. There I saw whirling the numberless flashing wheels of the triumphal chariot of time. No dust raised, no din, not even a scratch left on the roadway. On a sudden I came to myself. I clearly perceived that things could get along without me. There was no sign that those wheels would stop or drag the least bit, for lack of any one in particular. But is this to be admitted so easily as all that? Even if I admit it in words, my mind refuses assent. If it be really quite the same whether I go or stay, how then did my pride of self find a place in the universe, even for a moment? On what could it have taken its stand? Amidst all the plentifulness with which space and time are teeming, it was nevertheless not possible to leave out this self of mine. The fact that I am indispensable is proved by the fact that I am. Egoism is the price paid for the fact of existence. So long as I realize this price within me, so long do I steadfastly bear all the pains and penalties of keeping myself in existence. That is why the Buddhists have it, that to destroy egoism is to cut at the root of existence. For without the pride of self, it ceases to be worthwhile to exist. However that may be, this price has been furnished from some fund or other. In other words, it matters somewhere that I should be. And the price paid is the measure of how much it matters.